Father's Day, it is mostly and greatly a time to reflect on your fatherhood of us, Lord, which is merciful and steady and patient and loving. And so we just thank you for that. All of us here have a story, and all of it involved rebellion and pride and selfishness, self-centeredness, and it involved you reaching into our lives with your gospel and your enabling us to repent. And so that is the love of the Father. You sent your Son for us. So I just take this time as we're gathered. May this at least be about glorifying you and your love and your patience toward us, your active love for us and mercy. So all of us have prayer requests. All of us have needs going on in our lives, from very acute to chronic. And many people that we love, that we see still away from you, we pray for them. Many in this room, probably everyone has something at least like that. So may this be a day of encouragement about your constant love and your use of Christians in the lives of others, and for just your Holy Spirit reaching out. We thank you for that. I thank you for the way this class does that in love to all the needs that are represented here, even the suffering that we've gone through, especially the suffering that people have gone through, but just the day-to-day, also just routine of life, to be called into your presence, Lord, and called to follow you and have a mission to serve you, Lord. The most routine days of our lives, we have a mission. There is somebody that we can encourage. And so just pray you continue to cause us to do that. Father, again, thank you. I pray that you would speak to us today through Glenn and Amanda. And thank you for both of their lives. Don't know Amanda well, but already just her spirit, she's encouraged me. And for Glenn and Ashley and the way they serve our class and have loved us so many ways, Lord, we thank you. And I pray that you'd speak through them today. And I pray that in Christ's name, amen. We'll turn it over to Glenn Draper. Y'all know Glenn. I know that you know Glenn because you're always saying, when is Glenn Draper preaching? So thanks.
Thank you, John. It's so good to be back with y'all. I just love this class. I'm always so refreshed when I'm with the Discovery class. And I think back of my memories. It was March of 2016 was the first time I was filling in for George Shamblin, and just could tell this was a special class. It had a deep love for the Lord, a class that had experienced a lot of hurt, but at the same time exuded such joy and just reflected Christ so well. And I picked this class of all the classes I could have picked at Briarwood. I wanted this class to be blessed by hearing the story and the testimony of what God has done in Amanda Peterson. Little background, some of you remember that I was diagnosed with a sarcoma on the back of my leg, went to UAB. The only option for the surgeon there was amputation. He laughed at the thought of saving my leg. And so I went and had radiation, the max you could take, 5 weeks, and then took chemo. And I went back to him after that, and same story, amputation. So I prayed about it and said, Lord, I know you can use me any way you want. And if it's with one leg, I'll trust you with it. But I would like to save you. So flew out to MD Anderson August 31st. And Dr. Brian Moon, a godly surgeon in God's providence that I got to meet, was able to save my leg. 11 and a half hour surgery, 4.5 to remove the sarcoma, 6.5 hours to take muscle from my back to fill the gap in my leg. but when I look back at that experience, it was April of 2016 that I was referred to Amanda Peterson, who was working at Therapy South at the time. And I remember our first experience, I walked in and of course she's looking at it as, hey, good, this will only take 10 minutes, get him out of here and move on to the next. And I said, are you a believer?
This was before the surgery.
That's right. Before the surgery. So we met that day, talked about the Lord for maybe an hour. And then a few months go by and I had the surgery. So after the surgery, it was real discouraging because I could not walk or drive for 4 months, being an impatient person. That was really challenging. And being in a new city, trying to build my business, and I'm isolated in this one room. But I thought, you know, after all these years teaching and believing the sovereignty of God, he was giving me the opportunity to display, do I really believe it? And so I just remember having such peace and joy during this time. And so I had the surgery. And when I came back, I gave Amanda a call and said, I need help. And because when I would get out of bed, I'm not exaggerating, I could not touch the floor with my right foot for months. And so it was discouraging, but again, knowing the Lord's in control. So called Amanda. She said, yes, come on in. And so for 8 months, three times a week, I would come visit with Amanda. And we would have wonderful conversations and about the Lord. And then some of you remember that another year and a half later, I stumbled into a fire pit and fractured my hip. So I went back to Amanda, had 8 more weeks of a good time of sharing Christ and helping people.
He really did this to me.
So then moving forward, and I'm not going to steal her thunder and take away, but November of this past year, saw a post that Amanda put up on Facebook, realized that she was reaching out for encouragement. And so Ashley and I reached out to Amanda and had her over for dinner. And today you're going to be so encouraged because you're going to see the power of God on display in the life of one of his children. In a passage before us today, before I hand it over, is Matthew 11, 25 through 30. Where Jesus is praying and he says, Father, I thank you that you've hidden these things from the wise and the intellect and you've revealed them to babes, for such is your goodwill. And he went on to say, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except those who the Son wills to reveal him. And then he said, come unto me all who are weary and heavy laden and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm humble of heart. I'm gentle. And so I think of that passage when I think of God's grace working with Amanda, but I'm going to hand it over to her. We're going to be greatly encouraged seeing God's grace on display.
Thanks, God.
Yes.
Let's see. I'm just going to go ahead and preface that I will cry. I'm just going to go ahead and get that out there. I really can't share this story without crying, so just bear with me as I hit certain parts. But like Glenn said, this November, I had a pretty severe heartbreak from a guy breaking my heart. I'm sure all of us have been through some heartbreak. But it was a guy that I had put on the throne of my heart, and he had become my idol. And in November, when he broke up with me, I found myself really in the darkest pit I have ever experienced. And in that time, I didn't know the depth of that pit and how I got there. And so I would love to just start by telling you first how I got in that pit. And it was a lot more than a heartbreak. And then what the Lord did in that pit and just stripping me bare of everything that I thought was worthy of my affection, and showing me that only he was worthy of my affection. So let me just start with kind of my life, a little bit about me. I lived a very blessed American life, grew up in Homewood, went to Homewood High School, have a very loving family, got three sisters, wonderful parents who are here today. I was exposed to the gospel my whole life. I went to church. I had a great education at Homewood, you know, took all the AP classes. I really was seeking excellence, and the Lord blessed me with athletic ability. And because of that, I went to UAB on a full scholarship for basketball.
and played there for 4 years. And in that season at UAB, my first year at UAB, I really heard the gospel in my heart for the first time. And in that season, I was baptized and I was 19. And however, that seed at the time really fell on soil that was surrounded by a whole lot of thorns, and the world really choked that truth out of me pretty quickly, just being surrounded by the desires and pleasures of the world. So actually, right after that, the next decade of my life is actually documented in the Bible. So I'd love to, I would love to read to you the next decade of my life. I'm going to read the whole passage. It is Romans 1, 18 to 32. I might cry with this one too. Okay. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator. Who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. For their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another. Men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They were full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. So this passage is a perfect picture of the next decade of my life. I gradually suppressed the truth that I knew about God, thanks, John, that I had clearly perceived and had been exposed to and recognized. And I knew God, but my foolish heart did not honor him as God. And because I did not honor him in my life, my heart became darkened and my thinking futile. And I exchanged God's glory for the glory of creation. This exchange for me became seeking glory in my own accomplishments through personal achievement, athletic excellence, professional excellence, and seeking glory in any kind of relationship that would make me feel loved and wanted. So I was gradually being given over to the foolish desires of my flesh. My best friend at the time gradually became my partner. And for 8 years, we went through a roller coaster of a relationship as we each wrestled with spiritual convictions. We would suppress the truth for a period of time and then come back to the reality and seeing God and in the relationship, only to be given over again. And we were always given back over because we lived this life secretly. We were fighting spiritual warfare alone. We never reached out for help. We went to church, but we wore a mask because we were ashamed. I felt like I was living two completely different lives. Therefore, I was not who God made me to be in either of them. I was truly wearing a mask in both. My mask became thicker and bigger over time. And by year 8 of fighting this roller coaster, I did not see fit to acknowledge God at all. I became extremely angry with God. I was angry that I had feelings that didn't match his word. I was angry that I had 3 sisters that have wonderful husbands of God and that I didn't. I was so angry that year, the 8th year of my roller coaster, I put my Bible in a drawer and I did not set foot in a church for over a year. And I began justifying my relationship in my head. The Lord truly gave me over to a debased mind. And I would have thoughts of like, well, I can love her like Christ loves the church. I mean, I can show the love of the gospel through my love for her. And I know plenty of heterosexual relationships that don't display the gospel, and ours could, you know, this is justified. And I really, my thoughts were really trying to justify my own sin. While I was being completely given over and having these thoughts, he, in his divine mercy, spoke to her. And she sat me down one day and she said, Amanda, I love your soul more than I love this relationship. And we have got to stop. And she, in that moment, truly began seeking spiritual healing and returning to the Lord. And I went into a spiral of deeper anger. I was truly wounded in my desire to be loved. This desire to be loved had become my idol, this false idolatry of romance, that it would fulfill me. And so only a few months after this, I began dating a man who had been one of my closest friends, but he truly only knew me from behind my mask. And I so desperately wanted him to love me. And so I decided I have to tell him the truth. I have to tell him about my decade of life so that he will love me. And I was horrified. And when I told him, he loved me. I couldn't believe it. It was my first time telling someone publicly. And he loved me. And I thought in my head, this is it. No one could ever love me knowing this. This must be my husband. This must be it. No, I'm not worthy of anything greater than this. This is it. And this relationship with him truly became the largest idol of my entire life. And that is because I lived behind a mask for a decade. And for the first time, I was able to live out in the open. And I was able to display my love for him on Facebook. And I was able to take pictures and hold his hand and kiss him in public. And it was my freedom that I thought. However, in this relationship, I found myself compromising in many ways over and over to make sure that he still loved me and that he didn't leave me. And I tried shoving the Lord into the relationship, but the Lord was not the foundation of this relationship. In God's sovereignty, though, he can use anything. And he truly used this relationship with this man as a vessel for God's honor and glory. And in the most mighty way, is this man encouraged me to tell my whole family about my past. And at first I was like, no, I'll tell him in 10 years. I'm not doing that. And he drove with me to every sister that lives outside of Alabama, held my hand while I told each sister and her husband face to face, and held my hand while I told my parents. And after that, to see him walk with me through that, I truly thought he was my savior. So when he broke my heart in November, I was just beyond devastated. I mean, I was like, this is it. And in the Lord's mercy, he stripped me and laid me bare and said, hey, let's start over. Let's figure out what's going on. So now we enter into my season of wilderness. That what I thought was my wilderness was this heartbreak. So at first I spent 2 days in my bed, didn't speak to anybody, didn't eat. I was alone with my thoughts, which were really toxic. And like the psalmist says in Psalm 42, my tears have been my food day and night. And they were, and that was my only food. And on the third day, which I don't think is coincidence, the third day, the Lord in his sovereignty gave me enough push to reach out for help. And that day I sent a text to my sisters, and I was actually reflecting on this last night and scrolled back through and found their reply to me that day. And it, each sister just prayed powerful prayers over me that I can already see the Lord has faithfully answered. And I also reached out to two close friends, girlfriends that live in Birmingham because my sisters don't live here. And in my deepest season of brokenness, they came to me. My two friends came to my house that night. They dropped whatever they were doing. They have kids, they have families, and they dropped and they came to me. And that changed the trajectory of my healing because I was laid flat face down on the floor and they flipped me over. That they did enough to flip me over to look up. And that really changed my trajectory. And so from that moment forward, the Holy Spirit just gave me this desperate need for him and for his truth and not for my truth or any other truth of this world. And I just couldn't bear to consume any more lies from the devil. So I had to delete my intake. So I deleted all my social media. I deleted my cable. I stopped listening to any music besides worship music. And I just started filling myself with God's word like a baby being fed with a bottle. I mean, I would lay in bed at night and Tim Keller's voice would be on my pillow talking to me, just like, feed me, Tim, feed me, you know. And then I would do puzzles by myself. This was therapeutic for me. And I would have Paul Tripp just talking to me about the Lord's grace. Everything's a grace. You know, this blessing was a grace. And so I could see the Lord feeding me, and the worship music just softened the edges of my heart. And it was a gradual process. It wasn't like I woke up one day and all of a sudden, you know, something that they said just healed me. It was a feeding, like an infant taking a bottle. And I never had silence because I was horrified of my thoughts. Like, I'm making breakfast. I got Tim talking. I'm making dinner. I mean, there's always a pastor speaking in my house. And so, you know, I've been listening to Harry lately. I would say in that time, I couldn't listen to John MacArthur. I was too weak. I needed a little more uplifting. I listen to John a lot now. I listen to a lot of John, and I've been listening to Harry every week. And so I've heard the whole series on Romans, which really blessed me. And I've been listening to his series on the Progressive Church. You know, one thing that he said recently was when you have a broken vessel and it's broken and you try to fill it with water, God's goodness, I mean, it's going to leak out. It will never be full, and it will never be full enough to overflow to others, right? So how do you fill a broken vessel? You immerse it in the water. And that's what the Lord did to me. He knew I was so broken that he immersed me in himself. And in that season, the biggest message that really spoke to me was one of Tim Keller's. You know, he's my guy. He's my favorite. And he did a sermon on Psalm 81, specifically about honey from the rock. And in that sermon, he talks about in the wilderness, you know, the wilderness in the Bible is a desert. And that in the desert, you are to seek a rock. And that rock in the desert could provide, you know, protection, like maybe a really big rock that provides coolness in the day and warmth at night, maybe holding a little bit of water, you know. So you seek this rock hoping that you'll find, you know, some goodness. But in the psalm, it says, but I would feed you with the finest of wheat, and with honey from the rock, I would satisfy you. So when you seek the rock in the wilderness, he's not just providing what you think he will provide. He's providing honey. Like, honey doesn't come from a rock, you know? And you think that you need comfort, and he's like, no, 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 I'm going to give you honey. I'm going to satisfy you with something far beyond what you could ever imagine, more abundantly than you could ask or think. And so I knew in this season, Lord, I know I'm in a wilderness. please don't let me wander for 40 years. Like, please, Lord, please, please, please. Like, I see that I'm in the wilderness and I've brought myself here truly. Like, this is my doing. However, like, Lord, I am fixed on you. You are the rock. And Lord, please just get me through this wilderness quickly in your timing, but not 40 years. And so in that season, really around late November, early December, I knew I needed new community. I needed to be plugged in. I needed to be surrounded by believers. I needed to be surrounded by teaching. And at the same time is when Glenn reached out to me and asked me to come over for dinner. So I'm like at my weakest point, and I just flood him and Ashley with my whole life. Like, here, help me, you know. And so it's funny because at that same time, probably the week before, I had Googled Birmingham Seminary. I just like, I'm a nerd and I love learning. And I was like, Lord, I just need to learn your word. Where can I go? And the first thing that came up was BTS, Birmingham Theological, here at Briarwood. And so when I went to Glenn's house for dinner, I remember telling him, like, I did this Google search. There's a thing called BTS. Have you heard of it? And Glenn's like, oh, I've taken 30 credit hours. And I'm like, for what? And he's like, you know, just to know the word. I'm like, okay, great. And so anyway, he encouraged me to enroll in some classes. So I enrolled in two classes in the spring. I started them in January. And my very first class was with Dr. Jim Maples. You guys might not know him, but I'll tell him this to his face, but he's a little bit intimidating. He's kind of just like, but he's a strong man of God, and he's a pastor of a Presbyterian church in Pleasant Grove. And he gave us this really broad topics, and he said, I want you to choose one of these topics and then narrow it down to something really specific and write a 10-page paper on it. Y'all, I have not been in seminary. I didn't know what three of the topics were. I've never heard of them. I don't even know what these words mean. I mean, and so anyway, one of the topics I at least kind of knew a little bit. I was like, I think I know what that is. And it was man as the Imago Dei. So what it means that man is made in the image of God. And so I was like, okay, I'll do that one. I know we're made in God's image. So I'll figure out what that's about. And so I typed it into our, you know, handy dandy Bible resource Logos. It's like a search engine for Bible resources. It's amazing. So I just typed in Imago Dei and saw what came up. And that night, what came up was tons and tons of recent articles in the biblical world on sexuality and the image of God, centering around marriage, around gender identity, around pornography, just all sorts of issues in sexuality and relating it back to how God made us in his image. So I spent probably 3 hours just reading, and I was just blown away. I could not believe what I was reading, and it was so helpful. And so that same week that I got this assignment and I figured this out, or I researched the Imago Dei, I went to flush my toilet. Okay, this is really important. My toilet wouldn't flush. So, you know, you flush it again, you know, didn't flush. So then I plunged it a little bit. I was like, I don't know what's wrong, nothing crazy. Flush it a third time, and water starts coming up through the bathtub, like filling the bathtub. And I was like, what is this? So I called a plumber that day. He couldn't fix it. He said, you got to call somebody else. So I was like, great. So I called somebody else, and they couldn't come till the next day. Well, the next day I was driving to Charlotte to see my sister. And so I was like, well, I can't be here this day. However, this is a whole nother big piece of the story, and this could be a whole nother lecture, but the girl that I was in a relationship with for off and on for 8 years, she and her husband have been the most loving example of Christ's love in my life. And we are actually close friends now. And her husband truly has just been a picture of Christ in the flesh. So I called them and I said, can you come sit for the plumber? It would be like an hour or two, you know. So they came, they sat at my house while I drove to Charlotte. 14 hours later, I don't know what happened, chainsaws, the ripping my toilet off the wall, just, I don't know, I just called and it sounded loud, and I found out 14 hours later, they had to rip my bathroom up, install a new toilet, got all in it, did a bunch of videos, I don't know anything about plumbing, and the plumber called me and said, you know, Amanda, we fixed your bathroom, it flushes, it works, however, underneath the house, there's all these roots, and there's also really old piping that has rust in it that's kind of catching
things. And so truly, like, your bathroom may work for the next 3 months or 6 months, but it's probably going to happen again. You're probably going to have this issue again if you don't replace the what's happening underground. So I was like, great, like, I can't afford that right now. Just think about it, you know. So I go to bed in Charlotte. When I woke up that morning, it was as clear as the burning bush speaking to Moses. The Lord said to me, Amanda, you are the plumbing. You're the plumbing. You look like you're put together right now. You've healed from your breakup. You go to work. You have a smile on your face. You're trying to make steps forward. But this is going to happen again if you don't dig up those roots. If you don't figure out what the roots were and get them out of your heart, then this is just all going to happen again. And so I knew at that point that my assignment for my first seminary class, my very first paper, was going to be on what it means that we're made in the image of God and what that means relating to sexuality and marriage. And so the Lord, in his loving mercy, helped me dig up roots to understand his truth and to understand it down to the core. So, you know, the more and more intimate I grew with the Lord just through studying his word and being involved in church and being involved in other of the family of believers, the more and more I became rooted in who he is and not who I was. And I love how bluntly Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians. You know, he gives this really ugly list of sinful identities. And after he lists them, he says, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. The Lord called me to himself, and he revealed himself to me by his mercy alone. Not by anything I did. I wasn't going to pull myself out of that pit. And I will never be the same. And as he's melted away each layer of my shame and clothed me perfectly in his righteousness, my identity has been fully transformed into his likeness. And the more I behold him every day as he's unveiled my face, I become more and more like him. Like it says in 2 Corinthians 3:18. And part of that is that he's also cleared my conscience by his blood in a way that I can serve him and tell of what he's done. In Hebrews, it says, how much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God? That's the only reason he would clear our conscience. Is so that we can serve him. And I love how Paul says it to Timothy. In his first letter to Timothy, he says, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason. This is the reason. That in me, as the foremost of sinners, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. But truly my greatest prayer would be that the Lord would just use my mess for his glory. Again, y'all, I love the word of God. Sorry to quote so many scriptures, but it's so rich. I mean, my whole story could just be said in scripture. You know, Paul says to the Romans right before he discusses the wrath of God, he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. So again, I'm humbled that I even have a story to tell and that he pulled me out of my grave and I've been resurrected. I'm a new creation and I no longer live and Christ lives in me. And I never really understood that until now. In this season of healing, he also just, as he was digging up my roots, he helped me to see my life that led up to this heartbreak and to see the bigger picture that I thought I was wandering in this little wilderness of November of heartbreak. And he showed me, no, Amanda, it's all been a wilderness. you've been in this wilderness the whole time. And, you know, my wilderness, I could trace it back to my early childhood. And just, I was a big tomboy. I played all the sports. And so a lot of the guys just wanted to be my friend. And there were, you know, issues where I wasn't invited to dances. I wasn't wanted to be the girlfriend. And I could see how those, like, lies of Satan of, like, see, you're not pretty. You're not wanted. You're not loved. Those just built over time to me seeking that in an unhealthy way. And the Lord, in his mercy, he showed me this truth in Deuteronomy, and it has just, ooh, it wrecked me. This is what he says in Deuteronomy 1:30-31. The Lord your God who goes before you will himself fight for you, just as he did for you in Egypt before your eyes and in the wilderness, where you have seen how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son all the way that you went until you came to this place. He carried me the whole time. I was never outside of his grasp. He never left me. He was always there. He carried me when I thought I was abandoned. He loved me when I thought I was unloved. He always wanted me when I felt unwanted. He comforted me when I felt abandoned. He brought me out of my slavery in Egypt and carried me like a father carries his son all the way through my wilderness. It's overwhelming when the Lord shows you a piece of his character. And for me, he really showed me his faithfulness. Because when you understand a piece of his character, you just want to know more. Lord, show me your whole character. Lord, help me to know you more. And my humble prayer would be that we would never lose sight of those mercies, of what the Lord has brought us through. And in closing, I would like to read the whole chapter of Deuteronomy chapter 8, because it is a humble reminder for all of us to see what the Lord has brought us through and to never forget it. So Deuteronomy 8, maybe it might be my favorite chapter in the Bible. I'm not sure yet. There's still a lot to learn. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you, so that you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and fearing him. The Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains and springs, flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper, and you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and fiery wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who led you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, that it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm this covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so shall you perish, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. In reading that and reflecting back to my favorite psalm, Psalm 81, in that psalm where he's saying that he would satisfy you with honey from the rock, he says, "Oh Israel, if you would but listen to me." He's desiring us. He's calling out. He wants to fill us. He wants to feed us with the finest of wheat and satisfy us with honey, if we would but listen. And how do we listen? Only by his word. There is no other voice greater that we should be listening to than the word of God. We shouldn't be filling ourselves with the voices of this world. They are toxic. And the only way to cleanse our minds is to fill it with the word of God. As it says, we do not live by bread alone, but we only live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. That's every single word. Every piece of the Bible is profitable. As Paul says in 2 Timothy, that it's profitable for us to complete us, to equip us for every good work that the Lord would have us do.
What, Melissa?
What a gift he's given us in his word, that we actually have a written word and we don't have to just wonder what he says. I will never be able to go a day without eating his manna and eating from his word. And I want to encourage each of you today to always remember your Egypt and your wilderness, even when you're living in the land of milk and honey.
Well, Melissa,
don't forget who carried you there. And if you're in a wilderness season right now, seek the rock and he will provide honey. He promises to fill us if we would just call out to him. And I just want to encourage each of you with that today. And again, thank you so much for trusting me to speak in front of your congregation. I just want you to know that the Lord is powerful and he's seeking those that are chosen by him. And he's wanting to turn hard hearts into soft hearts and create new life. And so I just want to encourage you with that today, as he has done that in my life. Thank you.
Wasn't that moving? I wanted to get her story out. There's so many things that we pick up as we listen to Amanda. One, of course, is that every one of us have been rescued by God as believers. You know, the Piper said he rescues us from ourselves at a high cost through himself, the cross, so that we might enjoy making much of him forever. And one of the things that encourages me so much about Amanda is, again, no one heard these last number of years, is everything that she touched, she gave 100%. Like when she played basketball at UAB, she held the 3-point shot record, both guys and girls. Just when she worked as a physical therapist, unbelievable, just her work ethic. And what's so encouraging is to see now that she's in Christ, new creation, the old's gone, the new's come, in her identity, is her passion for God's word and to make him known. And that's what encourages me so much. Like yesterday, Harry sent to the elders of the conference six messages. They're about an hour and 15 each. So I was in Chattanooga seeing my mom, and I listened to two of them. I mean, I was doing good. I'm going, man, that's 2.5 hours. And then I get a text from her, and she goes, I listened to all six of them. And then she's going through scripture by scripture. And it's like, you know, with this progressive movement going on, we're just trying to paint a picture of you don't change. You're still the old self that's carrying along all that baggage. But she's a fresh reminder of, no, the old is gone, the new has come. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. One of the things that hit me that Amanda said, and you can share, is the
when you contrasted November that day, those 2 days, mm-hmm. when you were in bed, mm-hmm. face down, yeah. and then to now what you're doing with a study of 12 women going through the Psalms together, just that right. contrast.
Right, yeah. In this season, I'm a member at Church of the Highlands, and I am leading a small group this summer, and I just have a passion for the exegetical study of the Word of God. I love how Harry teaches the Word of God. I listen to a lot of teachers throughout the week. I've had a great community at Highlands, and I just wanted to bring a little more exegetical teaching into that church. And so I'm leading a women's group on the Psalms at my house, and each week we just go through one Psalm. And I have just been a little bit overwhelmed. Like last Sunday, I had 12 women in my house, you know, ranging across 30 years of age. And after they left, and we just had this rich time of fellowship, they left, and I sat in my house, and it was empty. And I just thought, Lord, look what you've done in 7 months. I was alone crying 7 months ago. And now I'm ministering to 12 women in my home over the Psalms. Lord, you are so good. He can really resurrect a life quickly if you let him. If you take the bottle, you know, take the bottle and he'll start feeding you with substance.
That's so good, Amanda. And again, what an encouragement for each of us to realize, you know, life is short, death is sure, sin is a curse, Christ is the cure. So if the gospel is true, which it is, then it's urgent that we have to be urgent about it, realizing that night is coming when no man can work. And we see these freedoms that we have to share the gospel decreasing fast. And again, we have to be bold. We have to look for the opportunities to share the gospel, whether it's in the neighborhood, the workplace, wherever we go. Sandy Wilson said this. He said, Is your life your best answer for the Great Commission? Is your life your best answer for the Great Commission? Meaning, are you living out going and making disciples of all nations and teaching them to observe all that I command you about? Just how important that is. But what an encouragement. That's why we always love to hear these stories. And of course, it says in heaven that they're rejoicing over one sinner that repents. And remember, repentance is a gift. It's a gift that God gives people. So it's not us, up to us to be able to change your heart. 2 Timothy 2:24 says that God may grant repentance, leading those that who have been ensnared by the devil to be released. 2 Corinthians 7:10, sorrow of the world produces death, but the sorrow that's according to the will of God produces repentance, leading to salvation. And just seeing a new creation in Christ. Jesus said in John 10, I came that you might have life and have it to the fullest. You just see this joy. That's why for me, I love sharing Christ, because when you see the results. When I fell into the fire pit and I ended up seeing Amanda again, little did I realize what the Lord was doing, but Amanda had called me 2 weeks before and said, would you pray for my office manager? She's an atheist. I said, sure. Little did I realize I'd be there in 2 weeks. So 8 months after my 8 weeks with Amanda, I'm at Amanda's ribbon cutting because she just became a part owner at Benchmark over down by Sanford. And this girl named Jess, she found me and she goes, Glenn, I've been looking for you. She goes, all this is new to me. She goes, I started with Matthew and I don't know where to go to church. I thought you could help. And I just thought, isn't that cool? It was all worth falling in the fire pit to be able to see another transform life. And so we're beggars telling other beggars where the bread is. But I wanted to close it out with, I thought some of you may have a question or two that you would want to ask Amanda.
And I'm an open book. I mean, anything you want to ask, I'm happy to answer.
So eloquent, I mean, you answer.
Awesome. Thank you.
We all have people in our lives, and some children. Mm-hmm. And is it recorded?
Yes, it's recorded. Yes, and we'll pass it down. Yeah. One of the things.
Absolutely. Share it all over the world. Wherever you want to share it. I have no shame and not ashamed of the gospel. Just, you know, let's tell what the Lord has done.
Have you got any blowback from your...
From who?
Have you got any blowback
from anyone from your wife?
Yeah. I have. You know, it looks really odd on the outside. It looks really odd that I would, you know, say that the Lord's word is final. I think a lot of the pushback has been about the Bible in a culture that doesn't see the Bible as authoritative. Why would I base my life around this book that 40 men put together? You know, why were there no women in it? Why did no women put it together? How can you trust that it wasn't manipulated? So I feel like, yes, there's some pushback about the lifestyle, but I was truly living it pretty secretly. I wasn't, you know, at gay pride parades or anything. But I have had some pushback more about the authority of the Word of God. And, you know, most recently I had a conversation with two girls that are in a relationship, and it was about the Word of God, and we talked for about 2 hours. And a lot of their questions were really good. You know, how do you know that all these men that put together, they weren't just lying, or that the Holy Spirit really inspired what was chosen for the biblical canon? And I said, you know, each of the books of the New Testament were written by men that walked alongside Jesus, every single one of them. The last one, Revelation, John, he lived the longest. Everyone else was martyred, you know. And I said, they're first generation walking with Jesus. And I said, you know, the Hebrew scriptures, the Tanakh, all of that was, that's what Jesus knew as his scripture, you know. And I said, you know, when you look at the Bible as a whole, over 1,500 years, 40 men wrote it. And there's no contradiction. If I asked 40 of you to put a book together right now, and you could sit in the same room and talk about it, you probably would have contradictions. And if you look at the Bible as a whole across 1,500 years, 40 men putting it together under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you can't help but deny that the Lord did it. And I told them, these girls, I said, look, I can tell you this much intellectually, and at some point it has to be faith. That you believe it is the Word of God. And I said, it's also faith for you not to believe it's the Word of God. And so, you know, you have to choose, or, you know, figure out for yourself why you would not believe it to be the Word of God. So really a lot of pushback more about the authority of Scripture.
Any other questions? One of the things that I asked her is how shall we be when we see a scenario? Let's just say, Amanda, what can we do to help reach people that are prior to salvation? And Amanda just said, be intentional with your questions. She said her brother-in-law was very good at that.
Yeah.
An example, what would he say to you?
Yeah, I think just a lot of people wear a mask in this culture, and you may not realize it, but like the surface level questions of, hey, how's your life? How's your job? Like, we really need to get past those, because someone that's wearing a mask, it's really easy to just answer those. And I think that the only person that ever really got behind my mask was my brother-in-law, Mark. He loves asking intentional questions. And they weren't questions about my sexuality. They were questions like, Amanda, tell me about a time that you felt sad this week. Or Amanda, tell me someone in your life that's made you feel important. I'm just like, oh, okay, let me think. And, I went through a lot of counseling this last 2 years, and my counselor had to start with an emotion wheel. And I had to kind of learn how to identify emotions in my life, because I was so good at masking that I didn't even recognize my own emotion. And so it was hard for me to answer those questions to my brother-in-law, because I was so numb because I've been wearing a mask for so long. So I really would encourage you, just like, take a step to get to know people. You know, ask one more question than how's your job? You know, ask one more question. Like, what's something you're looking forward to this week? Or just something a little more intentional that really forces someone to get, you know, get a little behind their mask. So.
Anything else? Okay.
Just to say, thank the Lord that he answered your prayer that you were in the wilderness 40 years.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
That's right.
Yes.
All right, let me close. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy and how you have rescued each of us, Lord, by your sovereign grace. I pray, Father, that we would have the zeal that we've seen displayed in Amanda, that as Isaiah said, to this one beloved, the one that's humble, contrite of spirit, trembles at my word. I pray that we would be like that. And I pray that we would not go around with blinders on, but realize there are people all around us that are enslaved and they're in darkness. And I pray that you would use us as your instruments, Lord, to play a part in them being delivered from the domain of darkness and being transferred into the kingdom of your beloved Son. Lord, we love you. We thank you that you show us over and over you intend us better than we intend ourselves. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.